this is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Hey everybody, welcome back for another edition of Y'allitics. We are at Community Beer Company in Dallas, not far from downtown Dallas this time around. Whiteley is still chewing the food that he crammed into his mouth just a moment ago. Mine just arrived. And
so it's my turn
to talk
now.
We can split these, by the way. It is your turn to talk. I'm trying new things today, by the way.
That's very unusual for you.
It is. Guess what kind of beer I got?
It's a darker beer. That's got to be the Funnel Cake Ale.
No, that would be the Texas Style Bock.
That is surprising.
That's what I'm drinking.
Oh, yeah. Is it? Wow, okay.
I'm also trying new things today.
Great minds think alike. And I originally went with the chips and queso on the menu, and I, last minute decision, asked them to take that down, and I'm going for the Spud Balls. Do you know what those are?
No, but I'll let you go ahead and keep digging. Go ahead. What is it? What are they?
Herbed, panko-crusted potatoes, I guess, deep-fried, loaded with horseradish mashed potatoes, served with sumac ranch dip. I don't even know what sumac ranch dip is. I know that I am terribly allergic to sumac, though, when I touch it, like the actual plant, so I hope this goes well.
Yeah, you can. If we're performing the Heimlich.
What could go wrong?
Is sumac a plant?
It is.
Oh,
it's like a poison ivy almost, or at least it is to me. If I touch that stuff, I just immediately explode into
but
a rash.
But it tastes delicious.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, let's hope this goes well.
I'm learning a lot then. So yeah, my cardiologist would advise against that probably. So
he probably would also, or she would also advise against everything that you just said.
No, that was. Hey, you know what? If you haven't been to Community Beer Company, it's in Dallas.
It is
at 35 and 183. It's off Commonwealth by the old Exxon headquarters here, and they have. We were told this last time we came here. They have something called the barbecue jackfruit sandwich.
We were told this by me. I'm the one who told you this.
One of the owners
here
told us
about it. I've had it several times.
But the owner told you about it.
They did, but I told you.
Okay, so you want the credit for it. Okay, you get credit for it.
I should get credit for something good.
But this is the, I'm not a vegan by any means, but this is the vegan version of a pulled pork sandwich.
You won't know you're not eating a pulled pork sandwich.
You will not know at all.
It's amazing.
It's fantastic.
The last time I was here with y'all, you made me order that, and I agree.
It was good, right?
You were like, no, this is the correct sandwich. And it was. It was the correct sandwich.
I have tried to do the same thing at home, by the way, with jackfruit. It was not nearly the same.
Mm.
You went and bought jackfruit to the sumac, and you tried to recreate
poured
the
sandwich. Poured a bunch of barbecue sauce in there, put it on a bun, and it was nothing near.
I'm having the house beer here today, which I don't speak German. Can you translate that for me?
That's the house beer.
he loves translating things, so I throw underhanded to him sometimes. This is the second time he's almost spilled his beer here.
It is. As a child, I did that every time I went to a restaurant, by the way.
Spilled your beer?
Not spill my beer, but yeah. Someone's beer.
Wheeler is absolutely wired for this episode right here. He's talking with his mouth full. He's knocked over his beer twice almost.
You know what's funny?
Go ahead. Let's hear this.
I was looking back at our last podcast with this.
With Jessica?
Wonderful guest we have today on this very subject, which we're updating today, and it's an important update. And we started that one off with you saying I was wired as well.
Every so often, like in Iowa,
voterless maintenance just gets you hyped. hyped.
He's as electrified as ever.
Last time it was because I was hungry. Maybe it's because I'm hungry this time too. But
the last time it was like a midnight recording, and you were just bouncing off the walls in that. The coldest Iowa that there's ever been.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
All right, so we're talking about Eric.
Yes.
And we can't find Eric. Eric has left Texas, and we have Jessica Huzman from votebeat.org.
Mm-hmm.
So
first we should talk about who Eric is.
That's the first question. But if you want to go ahead again, since you already swallowed that.
I want you to tell us what Eric stands for.
The Electronic Registration Information Center.
Wow, that's good. Bam. I have to get my notes to know that.
That was nice.
What is it, though?
Stick
what is
with me,
Eric?
Wheeler. That's what our guest is here for. You want to interview me for this podcast?
That would be
go
interesting.
Go ahead. All right. Jessica, we'll take care of that tab. But go ahead, Wheeler. Start with the questions.
It's a nonprofit, nonpartisan membership organization created by and comprised of state election officials, both parties, from states. except for many states now, including Texas, that have pulled out of ERIC.
So walk us back through this, Jessica. You regularly cover voting. You're our voting expert, so we called you up on this because this is something we've been watching in the background to see if Texas was going to replace ERIC. Explain what ERIC actually did and why ERIC was created to start with, because it wasn't very old, right?
Yes, and let me just say that when I told my boss that I was coming on this podcast today...
They said don't
to
do
talk,
it?
No. Oh. They were like... They want to talk about ERIC again. And I was like, yeah,
why?
It's fascinating. Don't discourage me. So ERIC is a program that allows states to sort of compare their voter rolls and also their DMV records to see if voters have moved to another state or another county and they might need to switch their voter status as a result of that, to see if they've died, to see if, you know, there's lots of reasons that you could become ineligible. And ERIC also gives you a list of people who are likely eligible but not registered so that you can do proactive outreach to those folks. And
it keeps the same person from voting twice if they're on there twice, right?
It
or
does.
If they're in different
I mean,
states.
It sort of has that effect, right? Because it can help the state of, you know, Texas understand when somebody's moved to Louisiana, that person wouldn't then be able to request an absentee ballot in Texas, cast that, and also vote in Louisiana.
So that makes sense.
It's a very effective and very powerful software that keeps our lists up to date. And it doesn't do that itself, right? It gives the results to the state. The state gives it out to the counties, and the counties have to do the work to make sure that what ERIC has said is correct, right? This person actually did move, or this person actually did die. So they're not just automatically removed as a result of ERIC flagging them, but it does give the county a lot of information that it just didn't have before. And Texas just joined ERIC. They got there in 2020. They got their first amount of data in 2021.
Republicans wanted to join. Texas Republicans wanted to join ERIC.
There
right?
is, in fact, a state law that requires us to be in ERIC.
Which was passed.
So Texas has long had a law that requires us to use some form of electronic matching to keep our voter rolls up to date. And prior to the existence of ERIC, we were using this program run through the Kansas Secretary of State's office called CrossTrek. It was very bad for a lot of reasons. And so Texas wanted to stop using that. The only other alternative was ERIC. And in the interim, CrossTrek, for reasons, ceased to exist. So the only game in town was ERIC. And so the only way that Texas could comport with its pre-existing law to do electronic matching of the voter rolls was to join ERIC. And so they did that.
And just to put a finer point on what Wheeler said too, so if you know, when Wheeler goes to Colorado to his home there in the mountains, he can't vote in both places. So the idea is that Texas and Colorado would be talking to each other and say, hey, we have two Jason Wheelers here, and he can only vote in one place.
Right, exactly. And the reason it's so good at that is because in addition to, so people are probably familiar with the concept of a voter roll. Like, there's a voter roll that you and I can request, that anybody can request, and you get the publicly available version of the voter roll. And it contains names and addresses and party affiliations and whether or not, but not how, you voted, and usually the last five elections and a few other things. But the voter roll itself that you and I do not have access to has a tremendous amount of information. Full social security numbers, past addresses, email addresses, lots and lots and lots of information. And so when states participate in ERIC, that's what they're matching against each other.
Because they have that information and they can share that information, but I would imagine that not every vendor out there is trusted to have all of that information
exactly.
And deal in it, so we don't have a lot of, you know, competitors to ERIC.
No, there are none. Competitors
in
to
fact.
ERIC. So in order for states to participate in this program, typically their state legislatures have to pass legislation allowing the release of this information in a very limited circumstance in the way that ERIC defines through its sort of rules, right? And it's very secure. It's an incredible, it's all baked in, right? There's, you know, the state of Arkansas cannot access the full voter roll of Texas if both of them participate,
right?
And so, but in addition to the full voter roll, they also get usually the DMV records. So every time somebody moves, they are much more likely to change their driver's license than they are to renew their voter registration and update that.
That's especially how they keep it current then.
Right. And so that's another way to keep them current. And about half of people will move from one presidential election to the next.
Wow.
So it's a really important thing to do.
Let's back up. So Texas joined this in 2020, having to abide by its own law that legislators passed. And right after the 2020 election, which we know Donald Trump spread the big lie and said there were problems with it, which none were ever found, Texas Republicans decided, hey, we need to get out of this. Walk us back through this.
Yeah.
Too.
So in early 2021, a right-wing conspiracy outlet called Gateway Pundit released a series of articles accusing Eric of a variety of malfeasance and saying that it was founded for leftist purposes and that it was only to register Democrats.
That's not a train passing us, by the way.
That was the mop bucket headed to the men's room.
I don't know why they're in the men's room.
I was just in there, and it was fine. I didn't do anything, I promise.
So Gateway Pundit.
Gateway Pundit
does these stories.
And immediately there is this outrage in the far right.
And
not just in Texas. It actually starts in Louisiana. Louisiana is the first state to leave. Kyle Ardoin was the Secretary of State then, and he sort of unilaterally pulls Louisiana out. And that leads to 8 other states, including Texas, also leaving. And there's really no reason why they left, right? It's just that their base didn't like it anymore, right?
Yeah, you all even reported at one point that they didn't find any real problem with it here in Texas. It just didn't line up with their, quote, worldview, I think
right.
it was.
Right, is their worldview. And so because of all of this weird information out online, Republicans in Texas allowed that to be the deciding factor as to why we were leaving Eric. And what they said when they pulled us out of Eric was, don't worry about it. We're going to find something else.
We got it.
We've got this. We can totally find an alternate to Eric, and we will just use that.
And so you all reported, I remember we talked about this, you all reported in July of 2023 that, well, we don't have a replacement yet. They're working on it. There's some options that they're considering, blah, 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 whatever. When we last met, I think it was in February of this year to talk about this. Is that right?
Yes.
I checked with the Secretary of State's office here, and they told me, and that's 6 months after you all did your story, we're working on it. We're looking at some options. Almost the exact same thing. So I did some poking around before this episode, and this is why, you can explain this to your boss, this is why we're coming back to this, because here we are now, more than a year after the fact, after you all first started reporting on this, and I did some poking around, and you know, as you would imagine, there is nothing on the shelf that replaces Eric, so they can't just go in and find something and go, here we go. They are still looking at it. They're still trying to figure out what this is going to be. It may be several different kinds of disparate ways of checking information. It may be something that they have to do with a state, one state, and then another state, and then another state, kind of this piecemeal approach.
Mm-hmm.
They still don't have anything yet. Here we go into another presidential election here. There is nothing that they can do to check against those voter rolls necessarily in a comprehensive way.
There's a question coming. Stand by, Jessica. There's coming here.
Hold
on just a second.
It's a large foundation first. And they don't have anything, you know, publicly to say yet about this. Maybe by the end of this year, after this election has already been decided. So that's where we stand right now. We're not, you know, nobody's bashing the Secretary of State's office. They're just complying here with what they've got to, you know, what they've been told to do by the state of Texas, the legislature. But the fact is they've been told to go find something similar, and there's nothing similar.
There is nothing similar.
So we're going to be in this perpetual hunt? Is
right,
that how it's going to go?
And in May, when you go back and ask them the question, they will say, we're still looking for it, because nothing exists like this. And in order for something to exist like this, it would take legislation from every single state, right? In order to get
that.
What we had through Eric, they would have to go to the state legislature in Oklahoma, in Minnesota, in Kansas, all of these places, and get them to individually authorize the release of that data to someone in Texas who would do the match. Who would do that matching? I don't know. I am unaware of a state office that has the technology that Eric has that would allow them to do that type of match. You know, people think, oh, well, it's like VLOOKUP or something in Excel, right? You just like match two rows together and then that's what it is. But that's false. There is a shocking number of people with the same first name and same last name and same birthday. And
really?
So, yeah, there's studies about this. Wow. So cross-check was so bad because that's what it was mostly matching on, was first name, last name, and birthday. And there are a lot of Jessica Huseman's born on my birthday. There are.
Are there really?
And if your name is common, like, for example, if your last name is Garcia, there are more likely to be people on your birthday. And so it flags a lot of false information. But because Eric had previous home addresses and email addresses and full social security numbers, like those false matches decrease dramatically. And so the county is given, as a result of that, much more high quality information. Mm-hmm. And so you'll, like, we talk to these counties a lot and they will tell you, like, the difference between the data that they were given under CrossCheck and the data that they were given under Eric is night and day. Mm-hmm. Texas didn't even actually use the cross-check data. Hmm. They were getting it, but it was so pointless that they weren't using it.
But with Eric, they did. They got two dumps of data from that.
They got two data dumps.
And it was like 200,000 people that they had to at least look into because there were some pops that, you know, suggested there might be an issue.
Absolutely. And wow. Greg Abbott has been talking a big game about how a million people have been removed from the rolls in the past. That sounds like a really big number. It's actually not. Like, there are a lot of people in Texas.
That's a common occurrence, too.
That's a common occurrence. And also, a lot of those names came from Eric.
Wow. So here's what it comes down to me. Republicans passed this law. They decided, because they're in the majority in Austin, they decided we need to join this to make sure our records stay safe. They got spooked by a false article, a conspiracy theory out there that says Eric is bad. And now here we are going into an election 47 days away from right now from this recording, and there's no way for Texas to check its voter rolls to make sure there are no ineligible voters on here.
Not any good ways, right? I mean, we still have the ways that Texas has been doing this all along, right? The counties have information from the state DPS about who moves in state. They have the Social Security death database, which is they can use. They have this immigration database, which Ken Paxton likes to talk a lot about.
But there's nothing showing that I moved to Utah, but I didn't change my driver's license, so I can still vote in Utah and in Texas.
Unless you take steps to notify the state of Texas that you have moved, no. You will stay on the Texas voter roll until two federal election cycles pass.
How incredible is it that Republicans were so spooked by this that they wanted to get out of it and they can't replace it with anything? Like Jason said, more than a year after all this happened. And we're going into the election with no good way to know whether Jason Whiteley lives in Texas or whether Jason Whiteley, you know, has an address in California and can vote there.
Or both,
right? Yeah. I mean, I think that our voter rolls have the possibility of being much dirtier than they were at this time last year. And that comes with security risks, right? When Republicans talk about dirty voter rolls, mostly they're exaggerating as to the harms, but there are some, right? If you've got a bunch of voters not voting in the right precinct, you're not apportioning your resources correctly as an election administrator. You might be sending people to the wrong polling locations and then their vote won't count anyway, right? Like, voter rolls being clean is actually an enfranchising mechanism. And it also means that we know sort of where people are and that the candidates who are campaigning can appropriately campaign to the constituency that they have.
Yeah.
And when our voter rolls are dirty, the campaigns are less effective, elections are less efficient, and people often get the incorrect information about where and for whom they should vote.
And we're supposed to have confidence in our elections, and by way of that, we should be able to have confidence in these voter rolls. And we've talked about this before, the irony that it was, you know, I mean, Republicans were the ones who wanted into this in this state. They control the state. They have for 2+ decades. And then they were the ones who wanted out of this. This is the party, though, that, I mean, we've heard so much lately about, you know, voter integrity and voter fraud and concerns about voter fraud. If you parachuted in from Mars, you would say that's probably the party that wants a system in place that, that does this.
Yes. And it's not, right? I think that it is not an exaggeration to say that ERIC is the most powerful tool for keeping voter rolls clean that currently exists. And Texas has chosen not to be a part of it. And there are eight other states that have also chosen not to be a part of it. And so now those states are trying to figure it out. But it also means that the states that are participating get a less good product, right? Yeah. So like Georgia has not left ERIC. Georgia will stay in ERIC. But it means they're not getting Florida's data anymore because Florida left, Texas left, right? Mm-hmm. And so they can't match their voter roll against Florida's anymore. And lots of people move between Georgia and Florida. And so that makes Georgia's rolls less secure. That makes their rolls dirtier as well.
So because of these defections, including Texas, mm-hmm. from ERIC, we're now at less than half the country. So last I checked, the highest it got, I think, was 31 states and D.C. were participating in this. Yeah, pretty good number. Not all of them, obviously. Now it's down to 24 states and D.C. So we're just under half of the states now participating in this. A lot of conservatives will quickly point out that, hey, California's not doing this either. It's a big blue state. They're not in this either. They should, you know, if they want to, you know, make sure the voter rolls are correct, they'd be in this too. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that before too, though. That's, I guess, something more technical going on.
Yeah, there's a technical issue there. California is the DMV records are not stored in the same, in a way that makes them easily transmitted in the way that they would need to be in order to participate in ERIC. And so they've got to do a bunch of technical and sort of switches in order to be able to participate in ERIC in the way that their rules require, right? Like every state must give the same amount of data. And so if you can't, you can't participate. And so I think it's less of an issue of will on the part of California and more of an issue of like ability. And Texas doesn't have those barriers. There's no reason that Texas can't continue to participate in ERIC.
So Texas is breaking its own law.
Yes, it is. Yeah, we currently do not have any ability to electronically match our rolls against the rolls of other states.
And the law says it has to be.
Right. They do. It says that we must. And as far as I know, that law, and I think I would know, that law has not been repealed. Mm. And so it is still on the books, and Texas is just in violation of it.
Is there any chance Texas might see the landscape out there, that there's nothing out there, and rejoin this?
I think that that will take a couple of cycles.
Really? That long?
Yeah. And I think that Donald Trump will have to cease to be a political entity in whatever way that happens. I don't know. But Trump made ERIC a target after the Gateway Pundit articles. He went after it hard. And if you are a Trump Republican, it is very difficult to disagree with Trump about anything, even as small as list maintenance, right? Even as like technical as that. And given that he is making voting and accusations of voter integrity this cornerstone of his campaign and what he talks about every day, and he has been able to, even though it doesn't make any sense, marry the idea of ERIC and lack of voter integrity, it will be very difficult, I think, for Republicans in Texas to explain to their base why they need to get back in, because they relied on their base not understanding what ERIC was when they left it.
Isn't it easy, though, just to rename it? I mean, that's what happens in all these situations. Corporate situations, political situations, just rename ERIC and join back up. Say, hey, it's a new organization. It's not the same old thing.
Listen, if you can get all 24 states that are in ERIC right now to agree to change its name, I will give you $1 million.
Let me get on the call here.
It's worth a try.
So, ERIC is a member-run thing. So, every state has an equal vote to affect change in ERIC, and if they do not get a majority vote, they don't do it. And so, you know, there are a few people working for ERIC, but they don't call the shots. They just sort of do the data stuff. and administer it. And so in order for Eric to change its name, 24 states would have to agree to do that.
Well, speaking to your boss here, this is another reason why we're doing this, following back up on this again, because again, so much more time has passed and there's nothing in place here in Texas. And this isn't one of those things that, I mean, a lot of voters were made aware of this after the last election and, you know, they may have turned against it. There's probably plenty of Republicans, independents, Democrats out there who would go, yeah, this thing sounds like a good idea. We still want to be in that. But this is not something that people are going to like get together and rally for. It's not a sexy thing.
No, it isn't, right? Unless you really care about this, you do not care about this at all, right? And that's fair enough. You know, I think that there is a reason that a lot of the bureaucracy is so boring and so nerded out by like a select number of people, because most people should be able to go about their day and not realize that like there's this program in the background keeping our voter rolls clean, and that's fine. But you know, no, this is not something that absent a real push anybody is going to get back on the train of. And so I think unless, for example, a voter were to file a lawsuit against some entity because Texas is not following the law and a judge made them.
I'm surprised nobody's tried that.
I'm also surprised nobody has
tried
that.
It's still early. Yeah. Here's the other thing that I think needs to be pointed out, too. If this were to impact any election, it would be local elections that this would impact. This wouldn't impact the national election because there aren't that many, you know, say, you know, bad voters on there. But if I want to move to Colorado and keep a house in Texas, I might be really concerned about the plan commission or the city council in those two places and want to cast a vote in both of them since they might impact my property.
Yes, and technically that is illegal. So
stop it.
So don't do that. I would not advise
it. Can we cut this out? let's cut this part of it out.
But, you know, I think that does worry a lot of people, and I think that it is something that I don't think that people realize is policed. So at the end of the election, if there are incidents of double voting, the FBI will follow up with you.
It's a crime.
It's a crime.
Yes.
It's an actual crime. It's a pre-existing crime. Yeah. And so when people talk about preventing double voting, it's sort of like saying, we're going to prevent murder.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, okay, it's already illegal. We can make it illegal again. We can make it more illegal, but it's still illegal.
Yeah, how are you really going to stop it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
they stopped rape, though. I mean, they were working on that.
Yeah, that was
brought it to a screeching halt, as far as I know.
Famous quote from several years ago, Governor. let me ask you this: so we're more than a year into this now. Do you think at some point somebody is going to find or create a replacement for this? I mean, are there the brains out there? Is there the ability out there to find something and just create it?
In theory, yeah, but it's not necessarily the technical ability. Mm-hmm. It's the ability to access the data that you need to fuel it.
So you got to talk a lot of other states into it.
You got to talk a lot of other states into it. And so if there is an entity and that we can say, all right, we're going to give Eric our data, and that's fine. What we don't have to say is, all right, we are going to give all 50 states our data, and mm-hmm. we don't have to consider those 50 states individually because we're working within one sort of universe of security and one universe in which the data goes there and then it is erased, right? The other states never get it. Eric gets it. They do the matches. They provide the matches to us. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to, as the state of Texas, be worried about, for example, the cybersecurity protocols in Arkansas,
yeah.
which I can tell you right now are bad, right? Like, we don't have to worry about that because we're not sending it to Arkansas, we're sending it to Eric.
But couldn't it be that if we do this thing where we do piecemeal with, let's work with Louisiana and let's work with Arkansas and Colorado, couldn't it be then that our data does go to them? Because wouldn't it have to?
It would have to.
So now you're having to rely on their IT people in Louisiana and Arkansas and New Mexico and Colorado and wherever else. You're going to have to rely on their networks to be pretty good because it's no longer just going to some clearinghouse that, you know, then it deletes it. It's going to be in front of all these different people in their systems, which who knows if they get compromised.
Exactly. Who knows? And they have been compromised before. You know, I've talked about CrossCheck a couple of times. CrossCheck ceased to exist because of data insecurities, because they were running it on a random server through the Arkansas Secretary of State's office for some reason that was not a secure server. It was just an open server on the internet. They were trading usernames and passwords by plain text email.
Oh.
And that is how they all uploaded their cross-check data.
Jeez.
And so voters in Florida had their social security numbers leaked, like released via a public records request because their social security numbers were with another state that had questionable data security practices. Like, I don't know about y'all. I don't even trust the state of Texas to keep my stuff secure, right? Like, I certainly do not trust Arkansas and Florida and California and whatever. Like, this is, and I shouldn't have to. I shouldn't have to worry about that as a citizen of Texas. But that is what they're essentially asking us to do. And the alternate is, you know, what if we just create a different thing that's not ERIC so that we can all join that instead of all, with all these individual states? There are a couple of sort of fly-by-night groups that are doing this. There's a thing right now called Eagle AI that's run out of, like, that this guy in Georgia is claiming is just as good as ERIC. It's not. It's matching the publicly available voter rolls, and you'll remember, right, like, false positives when you do that, when you have access to less data, are worse.
Yeah, you've got to be able to have all that same data
you've
that ERIC
gets. You've
got
to be able to have, in order for a program to be as good as ERIC, you have to have the same amount of data. And there's just no possibility
of that.
That's
head spinning.
It's unbelievable in Arkansas. Thanks, Arkansas. We appreciate that. but two last questions. The first last question is you mentioned earlier that you don't care about this unless you care about this. Why should Texans care about this?
I think that if Texans purport to care about election integrity, they should care about this by default. And I think there are a lot of Texans that will tell you that that is one of the things they care about most. And so if that's true, and if it is true that ERIC is the best way to make sure our voter rolls are clean, and that's not disputable, I don't think it is, then you should care about this. You should care that our voter rolls are materially less good. And if you don't necessarily care about election integrity, but you do care about voting rights, and you do care that counties distribute the amount of resources they need to distribute and send voters to the right polling locations, you should also care about this, right? Our voter rolls and where we're assigning voters and to which precincts dictate all of that. Mm. And so both the right and the left should care equally about the cleanliness of our voter rolls. And this is honestly, without exaggeration, the only way to do that that currently exists.
Mm. And the last thing I was curious about is, how does all this end? How does this situation end? If it's going to be a few cycles before someone can spin up something else, if this, you know, guy in Georgia in his basement or wherever he may be, if that's not a good option, what's going to happen?
Or is it a lawsuit?
You know, maybe it's a lawsuit. Maybe it
does
is.
Texas repeal its law?
Maybe Texas rejoins ERIC because the people finally give up the ghost here and, you know, realize that they've made a mistake. But I don't know that that happens with the people who are currently leading the legislature in office. So I think it's just going to take some political turnover. And I think it is very unlikely to me that something like ERIC will materialize. And so I think the only real opportunity to undo this is to rejoin ERIC.
So that's all in the backdrop as we are fast approaching election day. And boy, we see the attorney general in this state just going at it with some of these different counties, Bexar County, Travis County, Harris County, over mailing out essentially, you know, registration forms to people so they can get registered to vote. We've had some Democrats calling for the Department of Justice to come in and investigate the attorney general for, you know, sort of I don't know what the wording was that they used, but what are your thoughts about what's going on in Texas right now?
I mean, it's a whole lot of talk and not a lot of, what is it? What do people say? It's all hat, no cattle.
But it's all in the name of, you know, election integrity.
Yeah. So we, you know, I just today, as we before we taped this, Paxton sent out a press release saying that the state, that the Secretary of State's office should ask for the list of non-citizens that the federal government maintains. That there's a number of reasons why that's a silly thing to do, but chiefly, right, like, we can't remove anyone from the rolls now anyway. There is a federal law in place that prevents anyone from being removed from the rolls in the 60 days before a federal election. We're well within that window. Like, there's nothing that we could do even if we did get that list.
So what's a press release about? Just getting news? Just getting a headline?
I think that the Republicans have decided that non-citizen voting is one of their biggest sort of rallying cries this time around, notwithstanding that it is already illegal in every state to vote if you're a non-citizen, and notwithstanding that there is absolutely no evidence that that is happening in even measurable numbers, this is one of the things that they're talking about the most. And so the idea, even if it's not true, that there is this magical list of every non-citizen that the federal government just has, even though they don't even have a list of citizens, that we can just use to take all of these people magically off the roll, it seems so easy.
And during a time when you can't remove people anyway.
During a time when you can't remove
leading
people
into
anyway.
An election.
Yes.
You all cover at VoteBeat, what is it, six states now? Five states?
Five.
Five states across the country. Most of these are, and all you focus on is the vote on elections.
Yes.
And it's nonpartisan, nonprofit. You all are just, you know, getting in there and seeing what issues are happening. Most of those states are battleground states. Texas is not. All the other ones are. Texas is not. Why are you all such a big presence here in Texas? What is it about Texas?
Texas is so interesting because I think that Texas is going to be a swing state. Not
heard
now.
That for, we've heard that
we've
forever,
heard that for
Jessica.
A really
come
long
on.
Time.
Democrats
but
have been rallying
days,
around that for a long time.
One of these
time.
Days it's going to be true. But I also think that Texas is such a big state, and it's such an influential state in terms of Republican politics,
yeah.
that a lot of what happens here gets spun out and recreated in other states.
It's trend-setting.
It's trend-setting. And so if we have a really good understanding of what's going on in Texas, then we have a really good understanding of what's going on elsewhere. Texas is also interesting because it's even more confusing than a lot of states, because our Secretary of State's office is not actually that powerful.
No.
Instead, it's our 254 separate counties that are really the ones calling the shots on voting. And so unless you have a really good understanding of state law and state policy and requirements, it's very difficult to hold 254 different entities accountable for following that law. And so in a state like Texas, it is important to have, I think, a really specialized outlet that covers this. And we've got a great partner in the Texas Tribune, right? And so because there is such a robust nonprofit newsroom culture in this state, it's more sustainable in Texas than it might be in Georgia, for example.
Before we let you go, election night is going to be here before we know it. And then the days after election night, what are you watching? What are you looking at here? I know you're watching a million things, but what is on your mind?
What is on my mind? I am really concerned that the election will simply never end. And, you know, in 2020, the election just went on for months because there were so many lawsuits and there were so many controversies and false claims. And then January 6th happened. And then, you know, it just kept going. And I see indications that the same will be true this year. I don't know that we'll have another January 6th. I certainly hope we don't. But I think that there's going to be an incredible amount of post-election litigation. And I think that because the Republican Party has had, you know, when they decided to do this in 2020, it was all sort of by the seat of their pants, right? They were just making stuff up as they went along. They've had 4 years to come up with a plan. And Democrats have had 4 years to come up with a plan to combat that. And so what we've seen is just an incredible amount of investment by both parties into litigation funds.
So they're lawyering up.
They
in
are
big
lawyering
ways.
Up. Mm. Yeah, and so I
Good
think
time to
those
be an
are going to be those are going to be tricky.
Gosh, I don't think anybody wants that, but it's what we're probably going to get.
That's definitely what we're getting. Yeah.
Wow.
But we'll read the lawsuit so you don't have to. That's
it.
My shameless plug.
Voting.org, right?
So maybe we'll have you back at the end of the year to go over all of that.
Go ahead and tell your boss now, okay? Go ahead and let your boss know.
I'm going to just be like, they want a fourth Eric episode, okay?
And at that time, we'll talk about Eric again, and it might still be the same. Although, some folks tell me that maybe by the end of the year, they may have an announcement at the state on Eric.
Come on.
We'll see.
Well, why are you?
Hey, maybe the announcement.
You're burying the lead here, huh?
Maybe I said that in the beginning. Maybe the announcement would be that they are thinking about going back to it. Who knows? We don't know.
I don't know what else could happen.
Rename it and go back. Jessica Huzman from VoteBeat.org. Great to see you. You can tell your boss thank you.
Yes. Yeah.
For releasing you to be on this episode again.
This was good. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Click subscribe and get Y'all-itics every week. Y'all-itics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.